From LoveXX, this is The Periodical, where we speak with people who want to advocate change and stop the global menstruation stigma. And hey, I'm your host, Jesse Braun. All right, today in the podcast, we are featuring Tilly, who is a friend of mine who I met at a Minty Kaling fangirl line, essentially. Tilly's based in the UK. She's here visiting in New York. We've been having a fabulous day. Welcome to the podcast, Tilly.
Thank you. Hi. I'm really excited. This is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you are here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 26. I'm a journalist. I'm mainly working showbiz journalism now.
So Tilly, tell me a little bit about, you know, you learning about menstruation.
I think when we had ours quite young. I think it was because a girl in our class had got her period, and so they wanted to like diffuse the situation quickly. So I had mine like sexual education, like what periods are around the age of like 9 or 10. Because it was just before I started high school, and we start high school in the UK at 11.
Oh yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah, so I'd say about 9 or 10. And basically, the class got split, the boys got put into one room, and the girls got put into another room.
So you were 11 when you had the official?
Yeah, about 10, like, between 9 and 11. Like, I hadn't, like, left, like, junior school yet, but I hadn't, I don't think it was the final year, so I would say 10 or 11.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got split, boys and girls got split. And then we were sort of taught about, like, sanitary towels, and then sort of given, like, these, like, packs of things, like, sanitary towel, a tampon. I think we had a condom in there at some point.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really progressive. The US would never do that.
I think you guys have, like, such a weird sort of relationship with the whole sort of sense of, like, abstinence, whereas, like, I think in the UK, the idea of abstinence has been a gone thing for like so long. Like there's a lot of pressure on like finding the right one to lose it to, like make sure you find it to like lose it to the right one. But I was never told to just not have it until marriage,
right? And that's all I ever learned growing up. I mean, granted, I lived in a very conservative community and I had a very religious upbringing, but yeah, abstinence was all I was ever taught. No. Which is, you know, as we know and studies prove, is not really the most efficient way due to teen pregnancies are rampant with abstinence-only sex education.
That's the funny thing. Like, it's almost like the complete opposite in the UK, like, because there was backlash from it, from what I remember, but that was, and it was a religious backlash, but it was never to do with abstinence from what I know. Bear in mind, I was 9 or 10. It was to do with actually having the contraception, like, there. I actually had, there was, like, a girl in my class, like, she had, like, 6, 7 brothers and sisters, very Catholic upbringing. Catholicism doesn't support
birth control.
So the idea that they were given
condoms,
like, it wasn't to do with abstinence, it was to do with the actual giving of the contraception.
Right.
So it was almost, like, the complete flip of what you guys do, where it's, like...
Yeah.
It was just a bit... it was something I found quite interesting, but,
Wow.
I think I've never really thought about it until just now, to be honest.
So that was the first time you were aware that your body would be bleeding at one point?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was all from school, nothing with your mother teaching you?
No, not that I remember. Okay. In fact, like, I remember, like, we used to, like, watch stuff in science. Like, by this point, I was 11, 12-ish, and we got taught it in a bit more depth. Like, I think the boys, when we were taught, like, about periods, it was a very basic need-to-know thing, because they're... were rumors. I don't know if this is true, because again, like, I was like 9, so like I don't know how accurate this is, but there was a girl or girls who had started their period, and so instead of freaking everyone out with like bleeding everywhere, they wanted to like nip it in the bud and just be like, this is a thing, this is natural,
yeah,
this is what happened, and all of you are gonna have to do it at some point.
That's beautiful.
And the boys, I think the boys were taught how to put on a condom at like the ages of like 10.
I'm all for that, having grown with abstinence sex.
Like, I think it's cool, but maybe a little young, but
is a little young.
That was more to do with they didn't know what else to teach them at that point.
Right.
And they just didn't tell, I don't think they told the boys really like what was going on.
Right. And okay.
As far as I know.
No, it's funny that you say that because in my training, I was probably 11 as well. And I was under the impression, and they mentioned this in another episode, I was under the impression that everybody in the whole world had a period, no matter if you were male or female.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that in my mind. I don't know where I got this from. And so, but I thought that a condom was what a man would use and a sanitary napkin or tampon is what a woman would use.
Oh, that's so cute.
Right. So so I asked my teacher, we were separate, I raised my hand in class and I said, well, when are we going to learn about condoms? And my teacher immediately said, we will not be learning about condoms in this class. Next question. And like the conversation ended at that point.
Wow.
So it's really interesting that in the UK they would, in public school, would just, you know, give out condoms. That's awesome. Or cool. I mean, to me that's cool.
By high school, that was, like, a common thing. Like, we learned about it in more depth. We learned why we had a period. Yep. We, like, watch videos about what happens to your body when you hit a certain age and all of this stuff. It was just kind of always a given that this is a thing that we're going to go to. So when I finally had my period...
How old
were
you?
It freaked me out quite a bit because I had mine quite late. I only started at the age of like 13, 14. Okay. Like I think it was late 13.
That's how I was, yes.
By which point a lot of women had already done that in my year, and it was all a bit weird. But I was prepared because I knew it was coming. At some point it was going to happen. So it was just normal. Like we were covered when that happened.
So you started your period and then you initially went to the nurse's room and received all the supplies that you needed.
No, well, if you came on your period when you were at school, you would go to the nurse's room. They would give you stuff to, like, change and, like, be a bit more prepared. I actually came on at home, but because I was given all this stuff in class, I already had it.
So did you go to your mother and were you excited? Like, what were your initial feelings?
It freaked me out, to be honest, because, like, it's something you'd heard about for a while, but then you're like, oh shit, it's actually happening. And it was a bit like, oh damn, like this is actually happening now. Like,
I felt the same way. Yeah.
So it kind of freaked me out a little bit, but like,
did you call your friends or anything? Any of your girlfriends that had possibly had theirs already to tell them? Or you just
contacted my mom. Me and my mom are pretty close. So like, I just sort of went, mom, I've had my period. Like,
yeah.
And she was like, it's cool. Like, I'll go out and get some stuff.
Well, that seems pretty average. It's basically my same situation. Mm. So, you know, now that you're 26, you had it when you're 13, you've had it for, you know, a period for the past 13 years, every single month, or is your period pretty regular?
I actually have PCOS, so I can...
Right. And you know I do.
Yeah.
Tilly and I bonded originally because we both have polycystic ovarian syndrome. And actually, the second time you came to New York, I had just been diagnosed.
Yeah.
And I was, like, feeling really overwhelmed and daunted by having learned of this. And I shared this with you, and you were like, oh my gosh, so do I. And you, like, sent me all of this resources that your friend had done, which was, like, such a relief.
Yeah. So it was kind of, like, I'm pretty... For someone who has PCOS, I'm, like... fairly regular.
Yeah, same here.
But it like varies within like the space of like a week.
Same here.
So it can be a bit frustrating. I've kind of come to know like my telltale signs, which is like I'm about 3 or 4 days away, which is normally I start eating a lot more. Like I start wanting to eat the world.
Like, same here.
Like suddenly like my I might get a little bit more paranoid than normal. And I just sort of, I can become a little bit more volatile. And there's certain, like, situations where I'm like, okay, so this is happening. I can walk away then and just be like, right, it's just in your head. It's just, like, you're coming on your period. And then, like, within 3 or 4 days it will happen. And then I'm like, there you go. It's done.
Right.
So.
Okay. So do you have a lot of, because for someone who has polycystic ovarian syndrome, I experience very painful menstruation. Is your menstruation also painful, like, when you're bleeding?
It can be, but it's more like a dull ache. It's more like someone's just like punched you in the stomach, and it's happened for so long that I'm kind of used to it.
Like a continual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of pain, it's not what I would consider particularly painful.
Yeah.
I think I'm quite lucky because I've had friends who have like passed out.
Yeah, that's more my symptoms.
And I've never had to experience that.
That's great.
Like, say that I have had, like, some where I'm, like, I have to, like, keel over, like, in the bathroom, like, once or twice. But I'm literally talking in the 100 or so odd months that I've had one, it's not that bad.
Yeah. definitely. So yours, do you have any other, like, are you more irritable, or like, what are some of your symptoms besides being hungry?
It's hungry and irritability. Like, I become extremely bored. I can switch on a dime.
Yeah.
Like, I can just take something a little too seriously,
mm-hmm.
or I can become like a little bit manic, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I've also been diagnosed with depression before now, and I think it really feeds into that. They feed off each other.
Yes. And polycystic ovarian syndrome, depression is part of that.
Yeah. So chemically, it's kind of
it's a battle.
Yeah, it can be quite hard, but like, it goes away, and it's always like, I'm always sort of aware enough to know when I'm just being a bitch because I'm being a bitch and I deserve to be being a bitch, or when I'm being a bitch because I'm due on my period and I'm just being crabby.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I actually, I don't know, I'm guessing I'm pretty good at hiding it because I lived with boys for such a long time.
Mm.
And when I did live with, I was normally like outnumbered. I was normally like, when I first moved out, I lived with 3 boys, then I lived with 2 boys, and then I lived with 3 girls and 1 boy. And when he was outnumbered, he like, by that point I had become very, I'd trained myself into sort of like hiding it almost.
Right.
Because I didn't want it to be really obvious. Like, the guys I hang out with are very like lad culture, which is like sort of bros, like for like American standards.
It sucks though. Like, how did that make you feel to have to be sort of hiding something that's such a big part of your life?
Well, at the time, it wasn't a big deal to me.
Yeah. Like, it was just this, you were socialized to do that.
Yeah. I was like, this is normal.
Yeah.
And one of them had a long term girlfriend, so I don't think he would have minded as much. But like, there were definitely 2 of them who, even if I mentioned the word period, they would like recoil.
Ugh, yeah.
And it's a bit like, I can't even blame them because that's what you're trained to do. Like I said, like going back to the age of 8, 9, or 10,
yeah,
when I first got taught it, we got split. It was like something that the boys didn't know about.
Yeah.
And the boys didn't want to know about. Like,
right.
We just got cut down the middle. Like, the boys didn't sit in that room with us and go, right, you're going to learn.
Even though they would not exist without it.
Yeah. Or it's something, it was clearly something that the school board, I think we're very progressive in a lot of ways, and the fact that we were just open enough to be like, right, this is the situation, this is what's going to happen. But at the same time, like, we did split the class, and the boys were like, the boys don't need to know this. This is a girl thing.
Definitely.
So
what is one of your more memorable periods? Do you have like a particular story? Or
no, not really.
You've never like leaked or like...
Well, that's just par for the course though, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Like, I've been... Touch wood, like, lucky enough to never have had that situation.
Wow.
I think the thing I find most fascinating about like periods is the like how like the whole sinking thing.
Oh yeah, with friends or you're
so, like, I used to have like going back slightly to my old housemate, I felt super bad for him because he moved in with me, another girl, a lesbian couple. And then he got a girlfriend pretty soon after we moved in together. So he was around girls all the time. His main social group of friends was women by default. He sat us down like just before we moved in together because we'd been friends for a while before we agreed to move in. And he was like, what do I need to know? He was like, because he had like a little sister, but I'm talking like there was like an 8-year difference. Like, she was like 9 or 10. Like,
mm-hmm.
He hadn't dealt with that. He, by the time, like, even if she did get a period, wouldn't have lived with him, so wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
He literally sat us down and was like, what do I need to know?
Yeah.
Like, I need to be prepared. And I sort of looked at him and I was just like, just make sure you have, like, chocolates in your drawer or something.
Yeah.
Just be prepared that we're going to be a bitch at some point.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, so what do you mean? And I was like, right, okay, I need to explain this to you at some point. I'm like, I know my period comes 3 or 4 days before Katie's does, right? It lasts about... pretty much the day I finish is the day she starts. Throw the other two in there
at some point,
and at the time his girlfriend wasn't an issue, but like, say you get a girlfriend, I was like, we're gonna be on the clock all the time. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, okay, so we have our period for like 4 or 5 days. And he went, yeah. And I was like, so if we all sink at the same time, that's still like 20 days before you even start out of a month. And she just looked at me like gone, like shit. And then I was just like, yeah, add to that, like, even though I was just talking about a singular person, a period is like 4 or 5 days. You get like 4 or 5 days of cramps or irritability or just PMSing before that, then you have to be extra careful, like, around, like, certain points of the month, because if you were to sleep with someone, then you're, like slightly more, you have slightly more chance of getting pregnant because of ovulation and stuff. Right. And I was like, we have to have this all the time. I was like, this takes up a lot more of our time than you would ever realize. And he just looked at me, like, completely, like, ghost blown face away. And was just like, I'll just make sure I have chocolate under the bed.
So
and
did he have the chocolate?
Yeah. And the thing that I found, like, the cutest thing was, like, it was about 3 or 4 months after he started dating his girlfriend, she drove us home from work, and we went to this petrol station or gas station or whatever, to fill up petrol, get some food for like going home, like a sandwich or something, for like after finishing work, because it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And he went and got all of our food, and he came back and he had the biggest smile on his face. He was so proud of himself, like super proud. And I was like, he was like, I got you girl something. Oh, and I was like, what is it? And he went, I've got you this, and gave me a chocolate bar, gave someone else a chocolate bar, gave all the girls a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I got these, and just brought out like this like box of tampons that he had like, he felt like he'd hit a man status, like, for being man enough to like get these tampons for the girls.
Yeah.
He was so happy and proud of himself. Like, I've never seen someone look so like, excited. That's
so funny. Wow.
But yeah, no, he was, yeah, I've been very lucky with like not having like major issues like that, but I'm having funny stories like that instead. Like,
yeah, that's cute. I've never heard of that. That's really great. So what are some of your favorite products to use? Are you just like a tampon girl?
I'm tampons, like all the way tampons. Like, I like the ones with the skirts.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Well, basically, I don't know if you have them in the US, but like you must do. They're like tampons which have like a sort of extra ridge of cotton around the bottom to sort of catch any excess before it starts leaking.
Okay.
It sort of looks like a skirt around the bottom of like your tampon.
Interesting.
Yeah, I use those as opposed to any of the others, because sanitary towels, I don't really like how they feel, like how comfortable they make me feel.
Yeah, it's like a diaper.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm wearing a nappy, and it's a bit like, just no.
So do you wear like a panty liner with your tampon, or you just did the tampon and you never...
I just do the tampon.
So have you ever, because sometimes when I just wear a tampon, even if it's not full all the way, and maybe this is because in the US we don't have this skirt thing that you're talking about, it will leak a little bit. Like, it won't like bleed through my pants, but I'll have like blood in my underwear a little bit, and I'll pull the tampon out because I think it's full and it's not all the way full, but it leaked a little.
Oh, no, I don't have that.
Wow, you need to send me a box of these skirt tampons.
But
I need to order some of these. Wow. What's your favorite brand?
Tampax.
What? I have to look this up. Okay, there will be show notes about where to order these skirt tampons. Like, I'm serious. I've never heard of these. So they're just called Tampax Skirt?
No, they're like, well, they come in just like normal, like there's Tampax Compact, there's Tampax Active, I think one of them's called. Mm-hmm.
Because we have the sport, we call it sport, Tampax Skirt, and then we have like regular, super, but there's no skirt edition.
No, I don't think they're called, like, they're not called skirts, but like they're called like the actual item is not called a skirt, but like they're promoted like on the things, like they come with like a skirt, like
interesting,
like on the ads.
Definitely, I've never seen that here in the US. No. I'll have to like look into that. Okay,
but, cool. I'm sure you must have them somewhere, but the one thing like I've tried recently, because I was looking to be more environmentally friendly and I was looking to be more environmentally like sort of sound and also trying to save a little bit of money, I tried a cup.
Yeah,
and it literally, I was so fucking done within like 15 minutes of having it in. Like, so I was just like, no.
And you could just feel it inside you?
Yeah, it hurt to put it in. It hurt to take it out. I was just like, it didn't hold everything the way it should. I was like, I'm done. I'm taking this out now.
Okay. Like, and I mean, this is my thought on the cup. And we're going to do, there's going to be a whole episode about the cup, and you'll hear it and you'll know. But initially, the cup has like a steep learning curve. Like, when I think back to the first time I ever wore a tampon, it took me kind of a while to figure it out. Mm. And the same thing happened to me with the cup. It was uncomfortable. It was leaking. I couldn't get it in. It was rough. But then I just kept trying and trying and trying. And now I've sort of figured out how to make it work. But it's like, are you willing to put that effort in? You know, because it's inconvenient. It's kind of, you have to be at home, right? Like, you can't, it's not a convenient thing if you're like out and about.
Yeah, that's the thing that worries me, is being able to change it in public as well.
Yeah.
Because it took me so much effort to get it in, because I was like, right, okay, I'm going to get it in and I'm going to sleep on it.
Yeah.
To like get used to it. And
did you sleep on it?
Yeah. And I didn't like it. It really made me uncomfortable. And then getting it out, it took so much effort to get it out. And I was just like...
Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve of what muscles to sort of push and, like, I totally understand. And I think this is why the menstrual cup is so unpopular, is everyone is having your sort of experience. Yeah. And they don't want to put in the work because they're like, I can just put a tampon up there, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So I totally understand.
And it just makes... It is just a lot of effort to go through and a lot of pain to go through for something that might not work.
Right, like, and you have to try. So it's expensive initially, the first initial cost, and they have different sizes for different. Because naturally, all girls, surprise, surprise, have different size uteruses and cervixes. So to find the right one that's right for you is kind of a trial and error.
Yeah,
and then, you know, by the time you spend $100 on menstrual cups to find your right one, it's like, well, is this cheaper?
Yeah,
you know, the upfront cost.
Yeah, so I kind of like in the end, I'm just a bit like. I'll just stick with tampons because I know that works for me.
Yeah, I totally feel you there. I get it. So what, like, tips and tricks do you use? Like, if you are having menstrual pain or you are having, like, the PMS symptoms, do you allow yourself, like, okay, I'm just going to eat everything? Because that's kind of how I am. Like, I'm like, wow, I'm starving and I want to eat everything in sight. Well, my period's coming, so I'm not probably going to eat everything.
Yeah. No, I kind of, it almost justifies me eating the way I do. I'm definitely pro just doing what you want. I feel if people have a major issue with it, then... Because I don't have much of an issue with my weight the way other people do. I mean, I'm a bigger girl, but, like, I'm not, like, that bothered by it.
Yeah.
If people are more conscious about staying a particular weight or level, then, yeah, they would probably be more inclined to be more careful with it. But I'm not, so I don't.
No, I totally feel that. So, you know, if you are going to have cramps, what's your go-to medication or go-to cramp relief?
Oh, just aspirin.
Aspirin.
Or just, like... styling it out. If I'm like, if I'm at home, I'll sometimes have like a hot water bottle. But for the most part, I just sort of style it out because, like I said, like I get cramps sometimes, but it's so rare, it's not worth me making that much effort to it.
Yeah, that's great that you don't have cramps a lot.
I know, I'm so,
so jealous. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the stigma right now after having a period for so many years? I'm sure you're less embarrassed.
Yeah, no, I've always been kind of liberal in terms of talking about stuff, almost to the point where my friends are like, can you not?
yes, same here.
I mean, I guess England, we're quite a prudish country. We can be quite prudish. So, but if someone's willing to talk to me about it, I'm willing to talk about it to them.
Right.
And if people are a bit freaked out by it, I think there is a level of respect there. You've got to respect that people maybe don't want to talk about things. But... it's just, like, I think it's a shame. But I think there is also a thing where I think it should be a socially accepted thing, but I think people shouldn't particularly, like, ram it down their throats because it is something that makes people uncomfortable and that's not their fault. They've been taught to be uncomfortable about it. And so, and I feel just in a lot of things, like, forcing a subject on someone isn't going to make them accept it anymore.
Right.
Like, talking about them on a calm level... that might make them accept it.
Exactly.
It will take some work.
Yeah.
But just, like, walking down a street with, like, unless it's to make a complete political statement for a particular reason. Like, I have a friend, she made a political statement by free bleeding outside of the Houses of Parliament.
Wow. Because
there was a big debate at the moment to do with the tampon tax.
Right, like, it's huge. New York just passed, there is no tampon tax anymore, and public school is all free tampons, and all homeless women all have free tampons.
That's amazing.
In this state. It's fresh, though. It's very new.
Yeah. I don't think we've hit that point yet in the UK. But in order to protest it, when there was an argument about it going on in Parliament, she free bled outside. And
she had, like, posted photos on social media or videos.
Yeah, no, I think, like, she's actually, like, I think if I was to show you a photo, you probably have already seen it.
Okay.
Because she is... like, it was such a prominent thing. Like, all the major, like, news sites picked up on it. I mean, like, it was only, like, her and about four or five other people, I think, who, they free bled outside Parliament. Like, that I can get. I can get on board with that and I'll be like, right, fine, right? But to thrust it upon someone in, say, a social situation, like, if you're hanging out with your girlfriends, fine, and you're talking about periods and you're all on that same level, great. But if, like, say, a guy was there and he was a bit awkward about it, I feel like... it's not fair to just be like, well, you're a guy, and if you don't like it, move away from the conversation. Like, if you're here as a group of friends, you should respect him as a friend enough to be like, okay, maybe we won't talk about this in front of him.
Yeah, or talk about it calmly, or, like, dip it into the water, slowly see how he's...
But if he mentions the word periods and he's just like, he's like, oh, so we have to, just be like, yeah, okay, fair enough. Maybe we don't have to.
Okay.
There is a lot of, I think with a lot of political things at the moment, I think the idea is if people don't understand you, scream louder. And I'm not entirely on board with that way of getting your point across.
Yeah.
I believe in marches, and I think peaceful protesting is really important. But to scream at someone who just doesn't get your way of thinking,
right? Exactly. That's not going to do
them.
Right. It does more harm than good. Totally. So, I mean, for you personally, what would you do going forward to help with the stigma?
I think like what I just said, basically, it's just be more. Just know that I'm open enough to talk about it. And feel like be welcoming enough to explain it, and just be calm enough to help someone through that.
Yeah.
Because
it takes time.
Yeah, it does, and it's not going to change overnight. And
yeah,
I think it's really important that more people know it's not just like some icky thing.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting there, but I think people need to be just generally a little bit more open to that kind of thing. And I need to be open enough to allow that conversation to carry on.
Yeah, great.
I think just basically carrying on the conversation is important.
Definitely. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on, Tilly, and telling me all of your stories.
Thank you for having me.
We know you have a lot to say about periods, too. We want to hear your stories and opinions. Go to love-xx.com. That's www.love-xx.com. Plus social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're there. Come hang with us. And of course, subscribe on iTunes. Every time somebody subscribes, a Menzie fairy gets her wings. Love, XX.